Open up to Matthew 7, and you can also put a marker in Luke 6. On the way here, I kept hearing the two words, Lord, Lord, you know, Lord, Lord. And it came to me so strong in the parking lot, I looked it up real quick on my phone. It really only occurs like that in the New Testament three places. So let's look at all three. Let's see what he's talking about. So the first one here is in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." So he's saying there's many people that's going to say, Lord, Lord, unto him. And he's going to say, depart from me. You work iniquity, but that's really not why he's telling them to go. It's part of it. The real issue is, I never knew you. There's a family connotation with that. See, what did they offer as justification? What did they offer? Let's look at it again. They offer works. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Saul in the Old Testament, King Saul, he prophesied. But it did not end well for King Saul. The next one he mentions, have we not in thy name cast out devils? Did you ever realize that Judas Iscariot cast out devils? That he was part of the company that was sent out two by two? And Lord, I mean, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. So Judas would be one of those that could say, did I not cast out devils in thy name? But he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, did he know? Does not Jesus as God know everybody? So that's not what he's talking about. Now, I can't prove this yet, so when it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. I think he's talking about you were never family. You were never really born again. Remember Adam knew his wife? Now, we're not drawing anything weird here, but there is a family affiliation. See, that's why he says, let's see, we're in Matthew, right? Back up to verse 13 in this same passage. Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. I don't think it would be wrong if you wrote out beside that verse, religion. And I don't care what form. Religion, one way or another, is always based on works. It's what man can do for God. Only Christianity is what God has done for man. Many go in that way. In fact, the whole world goes in that way. In the name of Buddha, the name of Allah, we know about their works, don't we? On and on and on it goes, see. But he says you have to enter in at the straight gate. And then he says in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Discussions recently with a radical grace preacher. He says, most people are going to be in heaven. And I said, "What Jesus are you following?" That's not what he said. Look at it again. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. You think that were his choice of words there is by accident? Narrow is the way. I am the truth. I am the way. And I am the life. And that is a narrow gate as far as the world is concerned. They want to think you can climb up some other way. By your works, by your good deeds, by your... I'm a good Buddhist, I'm a good Muslim, I'm a good quote, Christian. I've prophesied, I've cast out devils, I go to church 3 times a week, I give of my money. But ultimately, he said it's going to come down to this. Did you enter in through the narrow gate? And are you doing the will of the Father, which is in heaven? Now, linking between these two things, verses 13 and 14, and where we read a while ago, verses 21 through 23, he's talking about false prophets. So let's pick it up in verse 15, because you're going to find, in a minute, we're going to go to Luke 6, where the other place where it says, "Lord, Lord," one of the other places, and you're going to find the same teaching there that you find here. In between these two things, he talks about trees and the kind of fruit that's on the tree. It's not by accident. So he says, "Beware of false prophets, which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree," now notice, "cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And I'm just telling you right now, that's the human race. Most of the human race, that's what's going to happen. Sorry. Few there be that find it. Few there be. "Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Now, with all that in mind, we may come back there. I don't know, but go over to Luke 6. Because he gives more information over there. When he says over here, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father." Okay? Well, if that's all we had, you could say, well, what would that be exactly, doing the will of the Father? He gives us more information over here in Luke 6. Let me get to it here. So let's start in verse 46. Here we go again. Now, here he says it differently. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings," now notice, "and doeth them." The hearing is not enough. To hear and do. Over in Matthew, he said, you have to do the will of my Father. How you do that is hear the Master, Jesus Christ, and do what he says. Whether it be in the red letters in the written word, or in your own personal time of fellowship, whatever he says to you. That's doing the will of the Father. Is he going to tell you something different? Does he know your calling? Does he know Mike's calling from the foundation of the world? He knows exactly what Mike's supposed to be doing. Usually we say, "Father, show me your will until we see it." And then it scares the bejabbers out of us because, you know, "Oh, not that. You know, that's not what I thought." And or it's either, you know, it's not pleasant to your soul, or you go, "Well, I can't do that." And he goes, "Good. I'm glad we're starting out with you having some knowledge." Normally, when you hear from God, he's not calling you to do something you can do. He's calling you for him to do something through you that you can't do. I say it like this a lot of times. I don't think he's ever yet called me to do anything I could afford. It's always, You want me to do what? It's like, you know, and this really does, but it's like, have you seen my checkbook? But I'm almost sure I always hear him say, have you seen mine? He's not calling me to do it at my expense. He's calling me to do it at his, if you'll allow me. So he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that rock and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, he's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So, you know, Davis taught us eloquently out of this passage. In both cases, they heard the word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, see? To hear the word is one thing. But the person that builds their house on the rock, see, the flood's coming. The enemy's coming. The storms of life are coming. Let's say it that way. The only one that makes it through is the one that not only hears the Lord, but does what the Lord says. So you know how Dave teaches that. He said, so the key is to do his sayings. If we could only find out some of the Lord's sayings, you know. So you know how he teaches you. Well, let's back up. Maybe in this very chapter we could find some of the Lord's sayings. Oh, maybe verse 27, but I say unto you. Maybe that's one of his sayings. Don't you love our pastor? He's adorable, isn't he? Lovingly beat the truth into us, you know. So here's some of his sayings. Now, again, we're going to find this this tree in between what we're reading right here and the end of it where he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? We're going to find that tree again, that teaching about the tree in between these two things. So verse 27, he says, oh, here's some of my sayings. And when Dave has a lot of time, and if I had more time, we could really set this up like, okay, I finally found the path to prosperity. Now my new car is coming, and now my big house is coming, and now my worldwide ministry is coming. Now I've found his sayings, and if I do these sayings, my life is going to be like just bowls of cherries falling off the trees, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm eager to find out how I'm getting my new car. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. What? This is not what I expected. If they're going to sue me, I've got a pack of spirit-filled lawyers that's got lawyers. I'm going to sue their britches off. They'll be sorry the day they ever attack the righteousness of God. G-A-W-D, God. You know. But that's not what he says. And to him that smites thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask him not again. I'm taking your car. What? Sinner boy. Comes right up to Rachel. Taking your car. What? Yeah, I'm taking it. Why are you taking it? Because I want it. Because you're a Christian and I think you're a bad person. I'm going to take your car. What are you going to do about it? I'll sue your bitch. No. Well, what the master said, if he's taking away thy goods... How does Dave say that? If he's taking away your car, fill it up with gas first. See, this goes so opposite to our normal human nature. And that's why the tree in both teachings is in between. So come on down now to verse 43. We're going to look at the tree here also. Now the question is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? No. Some example of things. Love your enemies. So he's saying, why don't you do that? Until you, I'll just go ahead and tell you the answer ahead of time. Until you're born again. you're the wrong kind of tree. And that's why you can't do it. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have that love, that the real love of God on the inside of you, you cannot produce that fruit. And He never knew you. You're not really born again. You might have gone to church. You might have cast out devils in His name. You might have prophesied. But what happens when you get born again and He knows you? You become family. Your nature changes. Your tree, who you are, you become a different planting. You become the planting of the Lord now. And there's different sap, if you'll allow me, different life running through your spiritual veins. So look at this tree. So the question is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Well, here's the answer. Verse 43. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. It's talking about two kinds of trees. There's the trees that comes from Adam. There's the trees that come from the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're one or the other. So I can hear you say, as long as you are the first tree, you can hear Him all day long. Love your enemies. You can try. You can do religious things. But if the sap running through your tree, if the life running through your spirit is the death that's in Adam, you know, he said at one point, if the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's the same teaching. If you're still a child of Adam. So y'all thought we finished that series on Walk in the Light. We barely started that series. I had an Ohio diversion. We're going to come back to that here pretty soon, okay? Walk in the light. And as you walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses you from all sin. Remember, and I used to think, well, if you're walking in the light, you're walking sin free. So why would you need His blood to cleanse you from all sin? Well, walking in the light as He is in the light means a lot more than we've been taught. For additional tapes, no, anyway. We'll get more into that in the coming weeks, okay? Can't do it tonight. Okay, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. There's only two kinds of trees on planet Earth. I'll just tell you right now. You're either born of the first man, Adam. You're a tree from that root. Or you're born of the last man, Adam. And you're a tree with that root. And you either have selfishness, the love of self, what we call natural, normal. We were talking right before the service, the motto, some of the banners of the flesh. You know, here's one. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. What was that other one? It's mine, I keep it. It was Lily when she was little. It's mine, I keep it. And Jesus is just the opposite. He's saying, no, if they take it away from you, just don't even ask for it again. So you got to know your Father to live like that. You got to know your provider. You got to know who your Father is. You got to know where your source is. It's not your car. It's not your possessions. Your fount is from a different source. The flow of life in you is from a different source. So He's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? At that moment, every person He's talking to, every one of them, not one of them has been born again. And they're every one of them a corrupt tree. That doesn't mean they didn't love Him. They did. They were following Him, laying their life down, but at their core, they were not yet born again. And so the answer to the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? For them, the answer is, I'm the wrong kind of tree. I've not yet been born again. I can try, but I don't really have what you're talking about on the inside of me. But how many of you are glad we live on this side of the cross? See, we don't have that excuse. That's good news and that's bad news. Because the truth of the matter is, we do have that life running through us. Now, the problem in the modern day church with us, me too, is not a problem with the sap. You've got the life of God on the inside of you. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Now, you've got that life. The problem with the modern day church is we've been taught false doctrine by religion. Boy, I want to do this sometime when we can really demonstrate it. I don't know how many of you were here during Alan's service to see that visual demonstration that he did today. I thought it was really, really powerful. And what's supposed to happen is exactly the way he presented it. Christ died. You know, we were married to that sin nature. Let's see, arm on this side. We were married to that sin nature by the law, right? We're married to that sin nature. Christ entered into that death. And in that vision, he had Christ lay down like he's dead. And what's supposed to happen when you get born again, see, you are baptized into his death. So what's supposed to happen, your old nature lies down with Christ. You die with him. Then as Christ is raised from the dead, that old guy is supposed to stay down there. Your old nature is supposed to stay down. See? And then you're free to marry Christ, the one that's been raised from the dead. And that's what sets you free from that old dead sin nature. Wasn't that great? But you know what the church has taught us? I was watching that and I'm going, that's not what the vast majority of the church has been taught. Here we are, start again. Here we are, married to the sin nature. Read the law, want to keep it, can't do it. We're just like every Jew and everybody in history that ever received the law. Even if you love God, I'm going to keep it. But you find out you can't keep it. Why? See, that sin nature, he had them there like they're equal. That sin nature makes you a slave. Says you're a slave to sin. You don't have a choice. That nature forced you. The better way to picture that in that image, the wife would be on her knees because that sin nature forcing her to sin. Isn't that right? But anyway, what religion has taught us is we'll turn and look at Christ who died for us on the cross and we'll go, oh, that's wonderful. That is amazing. He died for me. And it's all that's true. He died, he took my punishment. Now, at that moment, while we're looking at the cross, though, you're still locked arm in arm with your sin nature. I sure appreciate what you did for me. I appreciate that you died on the cross. Thank God now I don't have to go to hell. And then we walk off to relive the rest of our life arm in arm still with the sin nature. And we sing songs about on Canaan land, when I get there someday, not knowing we've already been really born again. So even though the truth of he's warning me, I can't go beyond there tonight. But that was a really good illustration. Really, really good illustration. It helped me understand something that's been in the oven for quite a while and how to visually demonstrate it. So y'all are probably going to see that again in 3 years or so. Probably not. But sometimes it does take a while till I know for sure. Like it right, even right now, he's saying that's about as far as I can go on that tonight. So now look, let's go back to our scriptures here. Verse 43 again. I know I've read it 3 or 4 times. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now he's just plainly saying there's two kinds of trees. Religion will try and make a corrupt tree pretty. See, it'll try and make it look like it's okay. But the source, if the source of life in that tree is corrupt, the tree is corrupt. And the fruit will be corrupt eventually. Now in Matthew's account, he says, beware of false prophets. They're false trees. But they come looking like good trees. He says, be careful of them. And sometimes it takes a while for the fruit to manifest. I'll be honest with you. Permission. I'll say it this way. I've been at this a while. Some of the biggest hurt that I've had on this walk has come from pride. People walking up full of pride, but dressed in the most humble clothing. And sometimes it took years for the real fruit to manifest. But boy, when it did. When he says ravening wolf, I mean, it's stunning. For that and other reasons is why we don't lay hands on people suddenly. We don't put them in the ministry quickly. I don't care what they say and how they smell and what they're doing. Sometimes it takes a while to discern the fruit. Amen? So anyway, verse 44, every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And normally right there we get into confession. But now, let's talk about fruit for a moment. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. Now, in the context here, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not my sayings? Why don't you do my sayings? One of the things that needs to happen, even in a good tree, we need to fill our heart with his sayings. We need to fill our heart. This radical grace movement, and I could bring you paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. I don't even want you reading their books. That's my job. I can bring you paragraph after paragraph. They are plainly saying that most of what Jesus taught does not apply to New Testament Christians. They're plainly saying that that was before the resurrection, therefore it is old covenant, and it was only for the Jews, and na-na-na-na-na. And these passages like this, they're telling you to ignore them. And people are swallowing this by the tens of thousands. See, I want you to see this in your Bible. Put a mark. We may come back there, I'm not sure. Go to Romans 16 just for a moment. Paul gave real... And what's amazing to me, they to a man, they all quote Paul as being the author of this grace that they're preaching. They are literally saying Paul preached a different gospel than the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, it's a good thing. If Paul was on the earth today, I wonder how many of them would be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that they learned not to blaspheme. You know, God raise up some Pauls in our day. I said by the Spirit, I wasn't intending to, but at the conference, I said by the Spirit, I said the days of judgment like Ananias and Sapphira are coming back to the church. That was God, this was Gary, I said, and Jim is going to do it. No. Because to give that kind of judgment, you got to be free of judgment yourself. Right. So I said, yeah, Jim's going to die. No. But see, look at this. Verse 17, Romans 16, 17. This kind of thing is never taught in the church at large. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, now notice, and avoid them. Mark them, that means make them known, and avoid them. And it says, the doctrine which you have learned. We went right back to Matthew 28, the last two verses, where Jesus plainly told them, he commissioned them. He says, I want you to go into all the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We know exactly what their doctrine was. We know exactly what they're out there preaching, and it's the red letters in your Bible. And they'd get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would build on that cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and his teachings. You don't remove the cornerstone, not ever. You leave that cornerstone right where it is, and everything builds on that. Well, that's the way the Holy Ghost does, but he doesn't ever remove the cornerstone. But boy, they're sure doing it. They are sure doing it. The church is not avoiding them. They're flocking to them. I'm going to go ahead and mark them. Joseph Prince is almost the godfather of the radical grace movement. And I'm not mad at the guy. I'm not his judge. On that service, I don't have it with me tonight. I just read to you from his own teachings. He's the one that says if it's prior to the resurrection, you can ignore it. Well, mark them. We're supposed to avoid them. His church in Singapore, the last time I checked, had about 40,000 members. Almost as big as ours, huh? You know why? People flock to it? Because the war with the flesh is over. There's no more war. No, the war with the flesh is over. You don't need to fast. You don't need to pray. You don't need to mortify. You don't need to do anything. It's just you and Jesus running through the tulies. Smoking pot, probably. Hey, I can bring you paragraphs. You can be sleeping with a prostitute and be the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't know if he wrote that one, but these different ones. Now, they're not really advocating sin. Don't get me wrong. They're not saying run out and sin, but they're opening the door for that because they are removing all penalty for sin. Okay? All right. Let's go back to Luke for a moment. So verse 45, when he says, a good man out of the good treasury of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasury of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then right after that, he goes into, why call you me Lord, Lord? Now, if you're not born again, we know why. You don't really have that love in you. And it's understandable. The problem with the church, we do have it, but we've been taught we don't. That we've been taught you're still just an old sinner, saved by grace. In other words, if we took that vision from today, you're still married to that sin nature. Yeah, we teach you, we sing about the cross, and we thank God that Jesus died for us on the cross. But we know we're still the same old person we were before. We're still married to that sin nature. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You were an old sinner. You got that right. You got saved by grace, and that sin nature died. You were baptized into Christ's death. That rascal died the death that day, and the one that rose was not your old nature. The one that rose from the dead is Jesus Christ our Lord, and now we are married to Him. And you really don't have to sin anymore. Now, walk in the light as He is in... Okay, yes, sir. Go to 1 John. I guess this is, he's building this back up to that series of walking in the light again. See? Previews of coming attractions. 1 John 1:7. We all know 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all know that one. But look at verse 7. I may have to go through here and relay this foundation from when we were doing it a month ago or so. The thing that John wanted everyone to know. He wanted everyone to know. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Remember that? He said, this we have learned of Him. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. But look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, Him who is light, but we are walking in darkness, we lie. Yes, sir. The radical grace people plainly say in all their teachings, sin does not break your fellowship with God. They also say, see, they cannot live with their doctrine and have 1 John chapter 1 apply to you. So they say, no, 1 John chapter 1 isn't written to Christians. Yeah, it's written to unbelievers. This says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, Him who? God. God who is light. In Him is no darkness at all. But we are walking in darkness. I'm walking in darkness, but I'm saying I have fellowship with Him. Liar, liar, a pants on fire. Later, everything on fire. He's given us space to repent here, see? We lie and do not the truth. And here's the, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But notice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. If you look that up, that's a, I'm not a Greek scholar, but that's one of those continual actions. It's not like once. It continues constantly to cleanse us from all sin. Well, I thought I was walking in the light. Gary, doesn't that, if I'm walking in the light, doesn't that mean I'm walking above sin? How many perfect people you know? Don't point at Dave. He's sitting right there. Well, he's almost perfect. Yes, our pastor. He's almost. Okay. Do you know any perfect? I only know one perfect one. They nailed him on a cross 2,000 years ago. Now, walking in the light, as He is in the light. Yes, sir. Mike from Minnesota. Mike was darkness, didn't he? He was dark. He was a wrong tree. He was a corrupt, horrible tree with this death. Like, you got branches, and it's lying, it's stealing, it's greed, it's covetousness. Why? Because he's the wrong kind of tree. He's not born again. But he comes to Jesus and he hears a gospel message and he genuinely gets born again, and God uproots him from that tree and replants him as a planting of the Lord. Now, what is the fruit of this tree? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I might have missed one. Against such, there is no law. Now he is the righteousness of God in Christ. But he's still got to walk this life. He's still got to walk. And he's in a process. See, none of us were born with a renewed mind. We are all born, whatever soul you had before, 1 minute later, you got the same understandings and the same thought patterns. Now there's a new nature, though, a new life flowing on the inside. And it's a progressive walk, and God understands that. Remember, the image I always get right here is when Jesus was washing Peter's feet and all of their feet. And Peter at first said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter goes, my head, just wash me all over. But Jesus said the most amazing thing. He said, no. He said, just washing your feet is enough. See, if we're light and we are the children of light, and we're walking in the amount of light that has penetrated so far, the illumination that we have, we're walking in the light the best that we know, even though we're still stumbling and making mistakes, with that attitude of heart, the blood of Jesus Christ, because you say you're sorry and you're like a child walking with your father, learning how to live a new life. And every time you stumble, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I forgive you. Why? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Give Mike a hand. Any good preacher? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Now, I'm going to finish with this one now for today. Now, let me just read it. Verse 8. You're still in first. Hey, we know we never did. Okay. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, now he's talking about if you're walking in darkness. To be honest with you, that's exactly what they're saying. You can be right, you can be sleeping with a prostitute. I'm sin free. He bore all my sin. They take little pieces of truth and they just run off in the ditch completely with it. So if we say we have no sin while you're sinning, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you got to keep that together. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, we started that off by saying we went and looked at the light that he's living in. We'll look at it again at another time. It says, no man can approach that light. He lives in a light that no man can even approach. And I'm going, how am I supposed to walk in the light that I can't even approach? Well, if you're a flesh creature, you can't. But if you're a child of light, you can. Remember what Paul said? You are children of light. Walk as children of light. Well, that's a progressive walk. Nobody's full grown, born again, fully mature. So there's our verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. That is his goal. You know, people focus all the time on the woman caught on the bed of adultery. And they'll say, don't judge me. Jesus didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. You know, they're justifying their sin, aren't they? You know, they never say the next thing that he said to her. Go and sin no more. No, they conveniently leave that sentence out. Anyway, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll just raise my hand for all of us. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate. That, I know what that word means. We've got a lawyer. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's going to go to the Father and present evidence on my behalf. And the evidence he's going to bring is his own blood. I think I'm going to be okay. But now when I'm not okay is when I say I'm not sinning when I am. And when I'm saying I'm walking in fellowship with him when I'm not. See, that's what, and that's exactly the ditch that they're running people off into. Anyway, there was one other Lord. Let's get them all real quickly. Let me find it here again. Go to Luke 13. I had no preparation for these, so thank God for the mysteries that are on the shelf of my heart. 13, verse 25. Okay. Yeah. It's the same. Yeah, here we go. Verse 23 says, then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Or that radical grace preacher recently told me, and most people are going to be saved. So he said, the question is, are there few that are saved, that be saved? He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, does that remind you of Noah, who preached righteousness for 100 years while the ark was building? But then the day came when Noah and his family went in the ark. And if I remember right, it says God shut the door. The master of the house will rise up and shut the door. And you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And that's enough for tonight. It's the same teaching. I know you not. God as God knows everybody. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a family relationship. I'm just sure of it. At least that's my opinion. I don't really know you. I know of you. I don't really know you. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God we can know him. Thank God we really are righteous trees that has the very life of God flowing through us. And we really have the capacity to not only hear Jesus' sayings, but do Jesus' sayings. Okay.